Take your Bible tonight and open, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. We'll start with verse number 27 tonight as we continue our study on the book of Proverbs. This is Proverbs chapter 3, section number 3. And we'll start with verse number 27 tonight. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I want to talk on the subject of chapter 3. What wisdom does to teach us how to treat others? What wisdom teaches us how to treat others, or how wisdom teaches us to treat others? So let's pray, Father. We ask that you bless now our Wednesday night Bible study. Help us to learn these things and apply them to our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, in verse number 1 of chapter 3, it says, my son, forget not my law. In verse 11, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Here we see that this portion of the book of Psalms is a father speaking to his son, giving his son wisdom, saying, son, this is good for you, this is not good for you. This is how you should be, this is how you shouldn't be. This is where you should go, these are things, places you shouldn't go. These are things you should do, these are things that you should not do. And now, in chapter 3, starting with verse number 27, we see that the father is teaching his son how to treat other people. How to treat other people. It's important that we learn how to treat other people. Remember, wisdom, the definition of wisdom, is to look at life from God's point of view. To know oneself, the one God, and your neighbor. God wants us to know ourselves and our relationship with Him and what He thinks of us and how we are to look at ourselves. He wants us to know us individually. He wants you to know the truth about you, how He thinks of you and how He loves you, how He cares about you. And then He wants us to know, wisdom also is, how to treat our neighbor, or how do we handle ourselves or behave ourselves and judge ourselves, not others, but ourselves, before others, so we can always do what we ought to do. So we got to be careful that we learn to judge the right things. I'm not to judge anybody. Judge not, lest ye be judged, the Bible says. My job isn't to judge anybody. My job is to judge me, to look at me, and to say, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Am I behaving in the right way? And so in chapter 3, we see this, how it applies to our neighbor. So wisdom then is teaching us how to treat other people here. And so we begin to see that. Look in verse 27 and 28, where the Bible says this. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. So here's the first thing, is provide help for people when they need it, if you can do it. Provide help for people when you're able to do it, and do it immediately, in other words. Provide the help that other people will need. In other words, selflessness instead of selfishness. If I have something and someone needs something, and I say I have enough to get by for today, but I may not have enough to get by for tomorrow, but they need it today, then I'm going to give them what I have for tomorrow today, because what is important is today, not tomorrow. See? And so I need to learn to live a life then that's selfless rather than selfish. The other would look at myself and I'd say, well, I may not have enough for tomorrow, so you go away and come back later, and if I have enough tomorrow, then I'll give you something tomorrow. But God teaches us that's not the way to behave. So the book of Proverbs, the very first thing is teaching us how to treat others, is to provide help for those who are in need of help when we have the ability to do it. So if someone comes to me and says, I need $5, and I have $5 in my wallet, and I don't have to have it to do something with for me today, then I should give them that $5. And even if I have it in my pocket to do something for me today, my question should become, do I need that $5 thing I'm going to use it for today? If I don't need it, then I'm going to give that $5 to somebody who does need it. Because their need may be greater than my want. There's the difference. Am I buying something with that $5 I want, or am I providing what I need to survive? If they're needing something to survive, then I ought to give them what they need to survive. All right? So, whether it's food or water or help or time or the gospel or whatever it is, God says we're to supply help for those who are in need of help when they have that need. If we have it to use. If I don't have it, God's saying that there's nothing I can do. I'm not supposed to give away what I don't have. So I need to be wise in what I do have, use what I do have wisely, but I also want to be careful. So when it's in my power to do it, I need to do it. And when I have it, I need to give it. So I'm not going to withhold good from them. Because many times we do that. Well, I'm just putting it away for a rainy day. I don't want them to know I have it. And God said that's not the right way to do it. We need to help those who have needs. Can I be honest with you? One day it may be you that has that need. And somebody else has the way to provide for it. And since we didn't help, they're not going to help. Verse 28, say not to the neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I'll give thee when it is in thy hand to do it, or when you can do it right now. So when you have it by you, so we need to be selfless rather than selfish. Number two, verse 29 says this: despise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Don't fabricate stories about those around you. Don't talk about your neighbor. Don't say things that we shouldn't say. Don't antagonize others. Don't spread gossip. Well, that's a good one right there, isn't it? So what am I saying here? It says devise not evil against our neighbor. So I'm not going to do anything that's going to cause my neighbor hurt. Remember, evil is to do sin against someone to cause them to be hurt. So when I, for example, when I gossip about somebody, I am speaking about them to their hurt. I'm not helping them. I'm not encouraging them. I'm not strengthening them. I'm spreading stories about them. So I'm hurting them. That's evil. That's evil. I know we don't like to call it evil because we want to gossip. So because we want to tell us, did you know what happened to George? Well, let me tell you. We want to be the first one to let somebody know what's going on. When the truth is, it's none of our business. You're not George, are you? So then you don't have the right to talk about it. If you are George and you want to talk about it, then talk about it. But I don't have the right to do that. Because it causes people harm. It hurts other people. Well, I have right because I know them. I don't care if you know them or not. That doesn't give you the right to do evil to them. Because when we harm somebody, when we devise evil things against them, when we tell stories about them, it's wrong. We need to be careful that we don't fabricate things by simply taking that which is true and adding to it, which is a lie. Just because there's some truth with it doesn't make it true. A lie is a lie, regardless how much of it's true and how much of it's false. It could be 90% true, 10% false, making it all false. Right? Amen? So we need to make sure that when we talk about people or when we do things, that we're not going to do anything to harm our neighbor. So don't intentionally do things to make your neighbor uncomfortable. Man, they're security for us. They protect us. They watch over things. They help us. So treat your neighbor right. How about this? Don't fight with someone without a cause. Look what it says next. It says, verse 30, strive not with a man without cause. If he done nothing to harm thee, if he's done thee no harm, let me read that again. It says, strive not with a man without cause if he has done thee no harm. So I'm not going to fight with folks just for the sake of fighting. A lot of people do. A lot of this world is all about arguing and fighting and having your opinion because you have your opinion. Wait a minute, if somebody hasn't done me any harm, it's not going to do me any harm. They have the right to say what they want to say and do what they want to do and have the view that they want to have. They have that right. Let people do that. I'm not going to strife with someone, fight with somebody, argue with somebody, hit somebody. Because, listen, all sorts of times we see people getting arrested all over this country for just somebody made them mad. They didn't do anything against you. They didn't hurt you. They weren't robbing your home. They just did something you didn't like. And it didn't hurt you, but you took it in your own hands. So we must be careful then that we don't fight with someone without a cause. Now you attack my family, I'm going to attack you. You break into my home, I'm going to defend my home. You attack my wife, I'm going to defend my wife. I'm going to defend my children. So yeah, I'm going to defend that which I'm to defend. You attack my country, I'm going to defend my country. You attack my neighbor, I'm going to defend my neighbor. You attack my property, I'm going to protect my property. But I'm not going to fight with somebody without a purpose, without a cause. Not just because you hurt my feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. You may not feel about the same thing, same way 2 hours later. How about this, verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forwardness is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. How about this? Don't lust or want after things that the ungodly have or the unjust have. That's what verses 31 through 34 are talking all about. Don't lust or want after those things that other folks have, especially if they're unjust or worldly. We ought to be happy with what we have. We ought to be satisfied with the things which God has given to us. We ought to be glad with what God has and not want what other people have, especially those to whom they use wrongly or got it in incorrect ways. I don't know how else to put it other than the fact that God's teaching us we just need to be satisfied. We just need to be satisfied. I love the way he says this here. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. People that put pressure or oppress other people, whom oppress means to control, try to control someone else to behave in a certain way. He oppresses people. I can never be possessed, but the devil can oppress me. He can lead me in the wrong directions. He can put pressure on me to do that which is not the best way or go or the best way that I should go. And so the oppressor is someone that's trying to manipulate somebody else's life in the way they think it should be done. That's an oppressor. Whether it's an oppressive government, an oppressive husband or an oppressive wife, an oppressive neighbor, an oppressive friend, an oppressive boss, anybody can oppress, try to oppress somebody else. It can be an oppressive parent or an oppressive child to another child or a brother or a sister. Many people can try to oppress this, and God says, leave that alone. Just leave them alone. Don't lust after what they have, because what they have isn't what true things are. Okay? You think you see what they have and you'd like to have it. We have in Cleveland a perfect example of that with the Jimmy DeMora trial, where he won a government office. He used that government office for ill-gotten gain. And now he's been tried and convicted. It looks like he may spend at least 22 years in prison. Somebody got upset when they announced that that's probably the verdict, or the length of the sentence. They said, "Well, a rapist doesn't get that much time. What's the difference? Wrong is wrong." He oppressed people. He took advantage of them, and many people, I'm sure, drove by and said, "Boy, I wish I could eat like he eats, or I could wish I could live in a house like he lives. I want a car just like he does. I want to act just like he does. I want to wear clothes just like he," and desired to be just like him. And people, good people, forsook that which is right and went into that which is wrong and got caught up in the same web that he was in, and now they too are going to be serving prison time. Why? because they desired or lusted after that which the oppressor had, because his ways are going to be harsh on you. The secret to life then is God's ways. That's the key. Did you hear that? He said the secret. I love that too. Verse 32, for the forward is an abomination, forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The secret to life isn't lusting after what you do not have or what someone else has, but to be satisfied with what God has given you and watch him take care of you and give you more. So, in the treatment of others then, God also says this in verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. How about this? The foolish people who scorn and who want what other folks have, who lie, who cheat, there's no blessings there. We think we're getting things we want, but we have no blessings there. There's nothing but cursing, God's curse upon our life. So in verse 35, he says, if we're going to treat other people right, if we do the right thing, then God's blessing will be on us. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Shame. That's what it brings folks to. So God's blessing. We want God's blessing in our life. Then what we need to do is put those things right in our heart and in our life so that we treat other people right. So let's take a quick review then. So if I'm going to learn to treat others right according to the book of Proverbs, so what we've learned so far is I'm going to provide help for those who need help. When I have it in my hand to do it, I'm going to do it immediately. I'm not going to fabricate stories of those around me, my neighbors, my friends, my co-workers. I'm not going to fight with somebody over without a cause. If I have no reason for it to get into a fight, I'm going to avoid that fight. I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to lust after what those who have done unrighteousness have, because all it does is lead to sorrow and heartbreak. And in my treatment of others, I'm going to be a blessing instead of a cursing by choosing that which is right, and so that God can bless what I'm doing. Not that he's blessing the work of my hand, as he's blessing the direction that I'm following that's his. So he's given me the direction to go. I'm following his direction, and he's teaching me the best way to behave. This is a father talking to a son. Son, he's saying, I'm telling you how important these things are in life. You need this. I'm trying to help you to mold your life and shape your future so that you can do the right thing. God loves you. And that's him talking to you and me. And he wants us to have the right things. And he wants us to learn to treat other people well. Amen. Treat other people well, Father. Thank you for what we've learned tonight.